This is part B of Insane Judgment, Isaiah 59. Let's see the perfect description here. Now, you see, because God's laws are eternal and spiritual and always work in all time settings, in all civilizations, through all the history of man, and it is the living Word of God, therefore, we can read in the Bible, and lo and behold, everything we need to know, necessary for understanding what's going on, and necessary for salvation, is here. And there are more Bibles printed in the world, and sold and given away in the world, than any other book, and yet, it is the most misunderstood, because people do not want to obey God. That's why. All right? So as we read it here in Isaiah 59, let's pick it up here in verse 8. No, verse 7. Their feet run to evil. Sounds like Friday night, doesn't it? Be interesting to see a statistic. How many deaths, drug overdoses, murders, slaying, killings, accidents happen on Friday night, beginning of the Sabbath. We're going to go out and do our own thing. Friday night's a big deal. Mm-hmm. And how many sporting events and everything. See, Satan keeps you busy and occupied with things that are good, only to lead you to death. Remember, Satan always promises a benefit in sin. He doesn't tell you that after you think you have the benefit, the curse comes. Okay, verse 7, their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. They have not known the way of peace. And yet, what do they say? Peace, 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 peace. Oh, we'll have this peace conference. Tell me, what peace conference ever brought peace? Huh? Has it? Because the way of man does not know the way of peace, and there is no justice in their ways. They've made crooked paths for themselves. Whoever goes therein shall not know peace. Therefore, justice or judgment is far from us, nor does righteousness overtake us. You see, you have to work at righteousness. You have to do it. You have to practice it. You have to live by it. You have to think that way, see, the way of God. We wait for light. Oh, it's going to be better tomorrow. How many times have you heard, oh, there's light at the end of the tunnel? But when you get there, it's a freight train coming 100 miles an hour toward you. But behold darkness for brightness. But we walk in deep shadows. Amazing, isn't it? So here's what happened. You feel like this? Do you watch the news and see what's going on? Oh, how did it become this way? Verse 10, we grope along the wall like the blind. We grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. Among those who are strong, we're like dead men, completely impotent, unable to do anything. We all roar like bears and mourn grievously like doves. Oh, we don't like it. We complain about it. We're upset about it. People shout and yell and scream about it. But nothing changes. Why? Because people are not willing to repent. We look for justice, but there is none. We look for salvation, yet it is far off from us. Why? Well, God gives the answer. How many people are really willing to accept this judgment and really willing to testify, to repent, confess their sins to God? For our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. You know that you've sinned. You understand that you have sinned, but you're not willing to repent. So here's the result. In rebellion and denial of the Lord and turning away from our God, talking perversely and revolt, conceiving and speaking from the heart words of falsehood, and justice is driven away backwards, and righteousness stands far off. Why? For truth has fallen in the street. Righteousness cannot enter. Those who are liars and cheats and thieves cannot stand righteousness and truth. Because then that means they have to change their ways. Well, they won't do it. You know, just like the congressman who was finally convicted for bribery, who had $90,000 stored in his freezer, and the leadership of Congress said, well, he's innocent until proven guilty. How did the $90,000 get there? Oh, I got it at the frozen food market. It just happened to be in these boxes. And look, it's in my freezer. My wife must have done this. Can't stand the truth. And especially if he belonged to a certain race. You know, you better not have prejudgments against him. Just like, don't leap to conclusions because of this terrorist attack in Fort Hood. You may think the wrong thing. Well, the problem is you think the right thing. And the officials want you to believe the wrong thing. Oh, he just had innocent conversations with this imam in Yemen, in emailing him 20 times, who's an advocate of individual acts of terrorism. Just a friendly little chat. It'd be like going to prison and having friendly little chats with Manson. Oh, you're such a nice man. And reporters have come out and said, in doing that, I don't understand how he could have done this. He's really a nice man. Hey. Okay. Yes. Isn't that something? Verse 15. Yea, truth fails. That's why you better return to the Bible and the Word of God. And he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. Oh, yes, if you say, oh, I'm going to obey God, why, you're an idiot. Oh, I'm going to keep the commandments of God and love him like Jesus said. Oh, that's all done away. I want justice in the courts. Well, we've got to have the process. I want swift execution of those who do things evil. And John Mohammed, the terrorist shooter in Virginia who killed 12 people, he was due to be executed, and they ran a special petition to the Supreme Court because it had been 8 years since his sentence. And his defense was, well, coming to the execution came so quickly, there wasn't enough time. While the Supreme Court, at least there is a little judgment there, turned down the request, and he was finally executed. But you see, how can you have people in your midst who are dedicated to killing you because you reject Islam? How can you get along with that? Huh? No way. See, truth fails. If you depart from evil, you make yourself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it was evil in his eyes that there was no justice. God looks down. God sees and judges all the time. And he saw that there was no man, and was astonished that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation to him, and his righteousness sustained him. Then it shows what we are to do, and verse 17, we'll talk about that later when we come to Ephesians, the 6th chapter. All right, now let's come to Isaiah 9. Oh, before we go to Isaiah 9, let's finish verse 18. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Fury to his foes, deed for his enemies, he will repay their deeds to the isles. Judgment of God is coming. You can't avoid it. If you think, oh, well, you're just blasting off because you have an opportunity to speak. Okay. Try this then. Suspend the law of gravity. Then I will swear to you it won't happen. But if you can't do that, then you better fear God. All right. Isaiah 9. And let's begin in verse 8. This is quite a section here. Like I've said, I've often wondered what Isaiah thought when he had all of these tremendous prophecies given about the coming kingdom of God and righteousness and peace and all of those good things, and then all of these destructive things that he had to prophesy of too, and all of the condemnation and judgments that he had to give because he was told by God, go speak what I say. And so here's what God gave to him to say, Isaiah 9 and verse 8. The Lord sent a word against Jacob, and it has fallen upon Israel. And all people shall know, Ephraim and the people of Samaria, saying in pride and arrogance of heart. So, that's talking about the modern nations of Israel, and Ephraim, England, is singled out. The bricks have fallen down. Doesn't this sound like some of the plans we have today? The bricks have fallen down, but we will build with cut stones. We'll make it better than ever. The sycamores are cut down, but we will use cedars instead. And the Lord shall set up the foes of reason against him, Resin, and spur on his enemies, the Syrians from the east, the Philistines from the west, and they shall devour Israel with an open mouth. And look at all the enemies against us. Look at all the enemies against the Jews in Palestine over there. They are stuck between a rock and a hard spot. And God said, though all the nations of the earth come against Jerusalem, it's going to be a cup of trembling and destruction for them. Is that not true? All right. Now notice. They shall devour Israel with an open mouth, for this the anger of the Lord is not turned away. Why? Because they didn't repent. But his hand is stretched out still, the hand of correction. See? For the people did not turn to him who strikes them, nor did they seek the Lord of hosts. Now you see, the best way this nation, be it any nation on earth, but especially Britain and America, the best way you can stop some of these things is for you to repent. And the more that repent and really turn to God, that will be the mitigating factor. Everything else will fail. And the Lord will cut off Israel, head and tail, branch and rush, in one day. The elder and honorable, he is the head. The prophet who teaches lies, he is the tail. The leaders of this people led them astray. Those who are led by them are swallowed up. Boy, I mean, it's amazing how absolutely true these prophecies are. Therefore, the Lord shall not rejoice over their young men, nor shall he have mercy upon their orphans and widows. For everyone is ungodly and an evildoer, and every mouth speaks foolishness. In all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. See, because when these things come, and there is not repentance, which God will honor. God will honor. But if you do not, don't expect things to get better. Here, hold your place here. Let's come to Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33. Lest you think, that God delights in the death of the wicked. He does not. Here is why all of these things are happening. Ezekiel 33. Let's begin in verse 8. Ezekiel 33 and verse 8. We've been here before. But let's understand, always in the middle of prophecies of death and destruction, God offers repentance. God offers help, if you'll take it. Verse 8, when I say to the wicked, because this is the word of the Lord that came to me, that's what Ezekiel wrote. When I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die. If you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked one shall die in his iniquity, but I will require his blood at your hand. But if you warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. See, because anyone who does any preaching or handles the word of God or brings things of prophecy to people, he is to preach the word of God so that the wicked may turn. But if he doesn't, judgment's upon his head. And you, son of man, speak to the house of Israel, thus shall you speak, saying, when our transgressions and our sins are on us, and we are wasting away in them, how then shall we live? This is exactly where we are, is it not? Yes, it is. As a people, as a nation, as individuals. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord. In other words, based on the fact that God is eternal, that God is living, that these judgments are true, that these things are going to happen, God says, I have no delight in the death of the wicked, except that the wicked turn from his way and live. So God's plea to everyone is this, turn you from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? So that's the question. Therefore, son of man, say to the children of your people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall by it in the day he turns from his wickedness, nor shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sins. Is God fair? Yes, God is fair. Now that's a tremendous proposition, isn't it? God does not like to see it, but he has given his laws and he is judge, and there are penalties or curses for sinning in full effect and force. Now let's come back to Isaiah 9. Let's pick it up here in verse 18. You know, this nation would love to have the hand of God's correction turned back, but what do they have to do? Individuals would love to have the hand of God's correction upon them individually, but what should they do? Now to give you an example, I had something happen yesterday at the office. There was a knock-knock on the door, and I opened it, and here was a man that I knew quite a few years ago. He used to do some carpenter work when we had a couple projects we needed to do at the house. So he knocked on the door, and I recognized him. I said, oh, how you doing? Well, he says, you know, he says, and he owns a business in Hollister, which is a bar. So he got all consumed in alcoholism. And he said, you know, I am on alcohol rehab, and I'm with this Bible study group, and we had an ad in the paper about the website, Restoring the Original Bible, and you have to put your address there. So he came and knocked on the door and had the section in the paper with the ad in it, showed it to me. I said, oh, well, I'm happy to hear that. I'm glad you're getting your life turned around. He says, yes, we have a little study group we go to and help encourage each other and overcome alcoholism and the other things that are in our lives. And I said, well, step on in here. I have something for you. So I gave him a leatherette-covered Bible. I had part of a case left. And I said, here, autographed it for him, gave it to him. And he was really thankful for it. So I also gave him a paperback copy. And I said, for all of those in your Bible study group, you let them know, I'll give them one of these free so that they can help get their lives squared around, see. Now, God honors that. Whenever anyone turns from wickedness, depending on what kind of repentance it is, some of it may be just to get your life squared around, acknowledging God in the way that you understand God, he will acknowledge that. Have alcoholics overcome being alcoholics? Yes. Have drug addicts overcome being drug addicts? Yes. Did all of them have perfect knowledge of God? No. But they turned to God. God will always honor repentance. Now, repentance unto salvation is another whole question. That's entirely different. And so, if they do, if they turn from their wickedness, God will help them. But if not, let's continue on here. Isaiah 9 and verse 18. For wickedness burns like the fire. It shall devour the briars and thorns, and shall kindle the thickets of the forest, and they shall roll upwards like the lifting up of smoke. In other words, just like some of these fires we've seen here in California, just fire rolling up and going right up the sides of the mountains. Though the wrath of the Lord of hosts, or rather through the wrath of the Lord of hosts, is the land scorched, and the people shall be as fuel for the fire, no man shall spare his brother. And they shall scratch on the right hand and still be hungry. And they shall eat on the left hand, and they shall not be satisfied. Every man shall eat the flesh of his own arm. That could happen very quickly. Just stop all delivery of foods to all stores everywhere, and you're going to have mass famine instantly. To say nothing of the riots to get in there to get the last scrap of whatever you can get. Manasseh on Ephraim, and Ephraim on Manasseh, and they together shall be against Judah. And in all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is still stretched out. See, notice in every one of these things, God gives sentence, he gives space of repentance. He gives warning, and then he gives more space for repentance. Now, this continues right on in chapter 10, and here's where we are right now. In America, with all the legislation that's going on, the cap and trade bill, the health bill, the bank bill, all of these things, the borrowing, the spending, the deficit spending that we are in, the unrighteous decrees that are spewing out of the mouth of the leaders. Woe to those who decree unrighteous edicts and those who issue oppressive decrees. Well, I tell you, nothing could describe what's going on with this health care legislation than that. To turn aside the needy from judgment, to steal the right from the poor of my people, that widows may be their prey, that they may rob the orphans. And oh yes, there is severe health care rationing in the bill. And most people don't know it, but the board to do the rationing was not set up in the health care bill, but it was set up in the TARP bill and already passed and signed into law. Most people don't know that. Rationing. Determining. So if Obamacare passes, you better make sure you have already gotten yourself some books on how to eat, how to take care of yourself, and on alternative remedies, because you aren't going to get close if you are over 65 to getting what you need to take care of your life. And too many people have made themselves totally dependent on the government, so when something goes wrong, The government has to take care of them rather than being personally responsible for their own individual lives and take care of their health. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to avoid all sickness, but that means you're taking responsibility for yourself, see? Okay? Verse 3. And what will you do in the day of judgment and destruction? Because it's coming. How many times have you heard them talk about the bankruptcy of the United States? Can you imagine what that will do? Which will, in the day of devastation, which shall come from afar. To whom will you flee for help? Because the government will be broke. And where will you leave your wealth, if you have any? They can do nothing but to cringe among the captives, or fall among the slain. So remember that the next time you watch some World War II history movies, whether it's Germany or Japan, or the rise of communism in Russia and in China. Think about that. It came to them, didn't it? And do you think it's going to not come to us? Now notice, even with all of these warnings, even with all of these things, how stubborn and hard-hearted and flint-foreheaded they are. In all this, his hand is still not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Well, God's going to send the invader. They will come. Just like he did to Israel. Verse 5. Woe to Assyria, the rod of my anger and the staff in their hand is my fury. Did not Assyria carry off the Israelites in 3 invasions into captivity? Yes, they did. Do you think that we as their descendants are immune from that? Says in other places, a nation from afar whose language you do not understand. And I've thought about that. Wonder if that's referring to the Chinese who own most of the debt of America. And they will collect one way or the other. I will send him against an ungodly nation, against the people of my wrath. I will command him to take the plunder and to strip off the spoil, to trample them like mud in the streets. Yet he does not plan this, nor does his heart think so, for it is in his heart to destroy and cut off nations, not a few. And if Germany is modern Assyria, is that not what they did in World War II? Yes, indeed. All of these dictators. Well, as you can see, you have to take care of your own life. You have to establish a relationship with God. And if more people would do it, let's hope and pray that would push off some of these judgments a little further into the future, because God is interested in repentance and change. See, the Protestants and Catholics forget what Solomon said. That which has been is what shall be. So there's a duality to these prophecies. Happen then, happen again, to Israel, to their descendants. God's judgments always stand. And we, of all people, should not have stupid, insane judgments. And a government, it's like the inmates in the insane asylum running it, which is what is happening. Now, unfortunately, don't think this is doom and gloom, even though the words are. Because remember the words, turn to God. Remember the words, repent. Remember the words, change. Remember God's word is true for those who repent, just as well as God's words and judgment against those who sin is true. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.